cooking anyway. But, man, I would love to get out there and do a whole lot of other stuff than what I've been doing. But, we stay so busy, Dan. That's just the garden work and keeping the yard cut. And weed eat it, and then I always take the leaf blower and blow everything off, make everything look pretty nice and pretty and stuff. I'm sure you do the same thing, and then by the time you get your machines cleaned up, get them put away, and the day's gone.
You got that exactly right. And now I try to drive 2 days a week, so that leaves me 3 other days kind of to get everything done, but we try to keep up with it, and got to stay busy. You know how it is. I told my wife one time I got so much iron in my blood. If I stop too long, I'm afraid I'll rust and won't be able to move. So I have to kind of keep moving there. Over.
Well, Dan, I try to keep moving myself, but I was out there in that heat today picking the beans and stuff, and I'd work a little while, get real hot and sweaty, and I'd have to go stop to wring my sweatband that I wear around the top of my head, right underneath my hat. I'd have to stop and take it out, take it off and wring it out so my glasses don't get wet. Get them old sweat streaks down across my glasses. Then I really can't see. But every time I had to take my sweatband off, I walked over and sat down in the shade, drank me some water, and then rested for a few minutes, and then I'd go back out and do it again.
And I'll tell you something else you can do, and I do it a lot of times when I'm out here working in the yard. Take you just a small, one little small hand towel, and wet it with good cool water, and just keep it draped around your neck. Really makes a difference, especially when it's so hot. And you can use it to wipe the sweat off with, too. But the thing about it is it keeps your neck cool and everything. It kind of cools your blood down a little bit there, over.
Since you mentioned that, I've got a couple of those things. They're called frog towels. I'm sure you've seen them advertised. You wet them and wrap them around your neck, and they're supposed to help keep you cool. I've got a couple of those I've had for a long time, and they do work. And I had forgotten that they were in the cabinet in there, so I'll have to go dig one up now.
Roger that, yeah. And kind of change the subject there, I called Walt about the power supply and didn't get him. I left him a message to call me back, if he was still interested in it. I never have heard from him, but I'm using it right now on this radio, so it's working fine. So I don't know if he's still interested or not, but I guess I'll give him another call. Maybe I got to work tomorrow, so maybe Friday I'll give him another call or tomorrow evening one and see if he's still interested. I've still got it if he wants to get it there. But anyway, it is what it is. So, Gary, I'll let you go. I hope you have a good one there. Sound like you had a pretty decent nap tonight. It was a little bit slack, but compared to what it normally is. But tell Miss Joy hello, and don't work too hard out in that garden there, man. Over.
We'll try not to, Dan. I talked to Walt, here the other day. I didn't call him. I talked to him on the radio. And he's been sick, and he's over that. He checked in with me earlier tonight. But he seems to be on the up and up again. Maybe he'll be around when you give him a call, or maybe he'll call you one way or the other. But I'm not going to work too hard, Dan. It's like I told my boss man a long time ago. I said, you can work me long, but you can't work me hard. And I'm the only one that can work me hard. He started laughing, and he said, you always get the work done. I said, didn't say I didn't get it done. I said, you can't work me hard, and he laughed.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that exactly. And we got a little thing going with us, and so a called one of the drivers and said, hey, man, are you planning to work in the morning? He said, I'm going to tell you what. He said, I'm going to be there. He said, I don't know how much work I'm going to do.
Dan, you know, as long as you show up, that's a big plus in a lot of cases. But don't you work too hard, and it, I know you enjoy it, so you go enjoy your 2 days a week, and you get the rest of it, your yard work done, the other three. And in the meantime, you and Joan have a great evening and a wonderful upcoming weekend there, okay?
Yes, sir, and same to you, Gary and Joy. It was good to hear Ray on there tonight. I hadn't got to talk to Ray in a long time. I'm going to have to give him a call and, like you, go up there and have a cup of coffee with him one of these days here. And I need to do that right away, but maybe it won't be long. But, Gary, y'all take it easy and have a good one, man. 73s and a good night to you. This is WB4, Fox Echo Echo Clear.
Friday, Dan, we'll tell Joan we said hello. Y'all take care. And stay well, stay safe. We'll talk to you a little bit later. Enjoy it there, young man. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4 DOS.
KI4 MLN, how you doing today?
And everybody say good evening to KI4 MLN. Mr. Al down there in Malden. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Al. Be back to you for some comments in just a little bit. Got one rag chewer in front of you. KN4LQO, Mr. Ryan, down there in Tocoa, Georgia. Ryan, what have you been up to?
Just in the net, KN4LQO. Well, overall, I had a pretty easy day. Went to work this morning, well, this afternoon, about 1 o'clock, and got finished up there recording everything about 2 o'clock, and we're going to be moving some new equipment in there early next week and doing some more training. I'm going to start training some more people on some of our recording equipment, especially the new stuff, on Thursday. And got home and sat down for a little while and just kind of hung out and got on a social media app that I frequent, and somebody was live streaming that was a ham radio operator. And he was over in North Carolina, and he had just got finished with an HF net, and I said, well, what do you say we, you're in North Carolina, we aren't too far away, what do you say we can see if we can get on each other's HF? And I said, I haven't really messed around with too much HF, so I haven't gotten a contact yet. So I made my first HF contact today, just barely. I barely had him at a 3x2. So it started clearing up a little bit towards the end, so about a 3x5, but it was still very, very scratchy and just barely enough to make it clear. But I made my first HF contact today, so I just feel pretty good. How's your day been?
Congratulations on your first HF contact. That's always a milestone. And you just have to keep in mind that HF is a lot different than 2-meter FM. you got to put up with propagation and static crashes and, oh gosh, 500 other things. But the main deal is that, you know, the main thing is you made the contact. And that's always a good thing. And I remember my first HF contact, and I was jumping up and down. I didn't think, you know, a piece of wire would get out there and do what it does. But, you know, it's amazing. But you say you're going to be doing some training on your job?
My first ever contact was actually the guy I took a test beside in the radio club. He just happened to get on the radio the same time I did, and I was on our local repeater for about an hour. Trying to find somebody, and finally somebody came back, and he was paying for LQP, and he did take the test right beside me, and we talked for a little while. So yeah, we are going to be doing some new training. We've got a new camera system that's come in, a new sound system, and a new recording and live stream system that I've been putting together for a while, along with one of our contractors. So So I'm going to be training some of the people. He's going to be training some of the people. He kind of called me today. He said, well, you know what you're talking about here, and you've already been working on it for a while, and you set it up. So I have confidence you know what you're doing. So I might just have you deal with the software side, since you're leaning towards using your software rather than a software I could give you. And then I'll just teach them the hardware side. You already know the hardware, so... If I miss anything, you can touch up on it. But we'll talk about it whenever we set the rest of it up. So we're getting custom made tables right now. One of the guys in our band is owns a construction company, so he's trying to find us some old countertop scrap. He's going to make us some custom tables for it, and then we're going to mount everything back on there. Right now, we just got it on folding tables, so it's definitely temporary. And hopefully, we will be ready to roll in about 2 weeks.
Good. I'm glad everything's starting to come together. Those folding tables, I don't want too much high-dollar electronics sitting on folding tables. Even though they're pretty stout, they work for a lot of purposes. You start putting that kind of money up on top of a folding table, it makes me nervous. So I'm glad that you got that fella going to make you some good tables out of some countertop and material and that sort of thing. You'll enjoy that a whole lot more, I'm sure, and you won't have to worry about the table collapsing on you.
These tables are the real old, like, solid wood. They're not pressed wood. They're solid wood, and they're steel. They weigh about 50 or 60 pounds, so I would hate for anything to collapse on me, but I also hate for all that equipment, because we've got two different tables, so we've got two monitors on each table and a computer, and I have the camera equipment and the switching equipment. The other guy has some audio equipment that we've been installing. He's about to have another piece of audio equipment that we have to install this coming week. So I'd hate for all of that to go down the drain, especially the hard work that we put in. I mean, we've been working on this project for coming up on 2 months now, and we didn't think we would take this long for it. We thought it would be a really simple thing, but as soon as we got done setting it up, they said, we've got a room upstairs right behind where you just put it. We want to put it set, so let's move all of the equipment in that thing.
The way it always works, they wait till you get it all set up, and then they say, oh, let's move it over here. I had to put all that extra work in it, but it'll be worth it in the long run.
That's the net hand for us. I've been trying to push them for this upgrade for about 4 years now, and finally we've got a pastor that's willing to put in the upgrade. Our last one just did not like the thought of having that outside of the church. He said, oh, I have to be inside the church. Well, if you want to do any sort of outreach, you can't expect everybody to come up to the door and say, I want to stay. You want to give people a reason to come to the door. So you have to show them what it's like inside the door, outside of the door. And he never could understand that. And then when our new pastor came in, he didn't understand why we didn't have the system already in place. So we went ahead and finished one of the systems that we had made about 75% of the way we finished. We just had a little bit extra we had to do. And then we had to completely start from scratch in the other building. And we want to use both of them on the same day. So I'm going to go from one building at 8:30 in the morning and finish there about 10 o'clock. And then at 11 o'clock, go to another building and start there and finish there about 12:30. So hopefully I'll get that
next. And everything's working out. It all comes together in the end. And I hate that you're going to have to run from one building to the next, but sometimes those problems can't be helped. But I hope it all works out for you, and everything goes good there, Ryan.
going to be too careful going back and forth. The buildings aren't, but let's see, where I'm going to be in the first service and where I'm going to be in the second service is about 200 feet apart. So it's just down the flight of stairs, across the hall, and up the flight of stairs. So it shouldn't be too hard. But I also, with our new pastor, he also just got a new associate pastor this past, I think she just started like 2 or 3 months ago. And now I'm starting to feel like a mentor, because she came up to me and she said, well, you mentioned that you're in a search and rescue group. Is there anybody in that search and rescue group that's ham radio certified? And I said, well, yes and no. Yes, there is somebody in that search and rescue group, but it's no one other than me. I'm trying to get them all certified, but they just say we're just going to stick with the repeater we have. But I'm certified. Yeah, I'd be willing to talk to you about anything. Her daughter had gone through some kind of a communications course in Girl Scouts, and upon that communications course, they were teaching emergency radio, and essentially they taught the technician course. So she took the technician test and passed. She's had her license for about 6 months now and hasn't ever picked up a radio. So I'm going to start working with her on that. So between that and working with the Echo Link system, which we, for the most part, got it finished. It's just not the ideal setup, but it will work currently. As well as a couple other things that I've been doing in the club. I feel seasoned, but I've only really been in it for a couple of years now.
Ryan, you got to remember, you got to start somewhere. And it sounds to me like you got in on the ground floor level, and everything's coming together slowly. But that's the best way to do it. You don't want to rush into anything. Take your time and get it all worked out. As far as the young lady having her technician license and not picking up a microphone, I went down to, down to Simpsonville, and they had the jamboree on the air for the Boy Scouts, and we, several of us went down and set up some different stations, and the Boy Scouts were in the church, have taken their classes, and when they came out, they got to talk on the radio, and that was to help them get their radio badge, one of the radio badges. I don't know which one it was. I don't know how many they've got anymore. But it was a whole lot of fun working with the young people, and they had a blast.
That's how I passed my technician class, actually, was I used to work in Raven County. There's a scout camp up there, and I went to go work up there as a camp counselor, and they said, okay, well, we need some people to teach these courses, and one of them was radio. And I said, oh, well, I have a little bit of experience with radios and electronics. So they said, we're going to put you in electronics and radio and either chemistry, robotics, or space exploration. And someone else took robotics, and I said I didn't want to take chemistry because I didn't want to risk blowing us off the side of the mountain. So I took space exploration, but I had a guy, and I don't remember his call sign, but his name was Stephen Back. And he's a real nice guy. He had a bunch of radio stuff. You can probably ask him just about any question, and he offers the answer for you in your hand. And he said, well, if you want some study material, then just take the radio book home with you. It's pretty much just a technician course simplified for a Boy Scout. And you're pretty smart. You could probably elaborate on it enough to actually get the technician. So I went home, and about 2 months later, I said, oh, I'm ready for the test. And my local club didn't have their test material for another 5 months. I took my test and got it first time, and went back that next summer and helped a bunch of the kids. I set up the radio and helped a bunch of the kids get their merit badge, because the merit badge requirement wasn't that you had to talk on the radio, it was that you had to The new requirement is that you have to symbolize like you're talking on a two-way radio, but also you have to see a demonstration of a ham radio. So I just demonstrated how to use the ham radio, and then I said, you know, before I come back and do this, it was such a disappointment. I really wanted to get on, but, you know, I mean, there's nothing on 10 meters, so I'm going to get my general before I come back and do that again. And then the coronavirus hit, so I guess I've got another year before I have to go back and do that. But I'm waiting on my general, and right now my neighbor's just letting me third party. He said that I'll get the HS questions eventually. It really is the HS questions that are getting me.
Figured out, no doubt in my mind about that. I hope everything goes well with that, and I wouldn't wait a year. I don't know why you would want to wait another year just because of the virus. I am on the VE team, the WestCar's VE team here in Greenville, and we just gave the test last Saturday, so you know, there's still people giving the test, and I'm sure you can find somebody other than maybe the club down there that's giving the test. And but there's places all over that you can find to go ahead and take the test. But go ahead and get your studying done and get ready, and take that and upgrade the general, and a whole new world opened up to you.
I'm just more or less worried about actually passing the test, so I am taking a little bit of time. I said I wasn't even going to focus on it until I was out of college, and I'm now out of college, officially graduated back in June, so I've been slowly starting to work on it between working all this equipment stuff at the church and trying to fix the Echo Link and get the Echo Link finished for us. And then I was going to start on my general. And I have started on my general a little bit. I'm just happy that there was no summer camp this year, because I did tell them that I would be back this upcoming year for the Radio Merit Badge again to help them out. I was going to go at least once or twice in the year. But I didn't have to do that this year, because the hardest part is breaking out the HF radio and showing them, look, there's people talking and they're not here and they're not, you know, 2 miles away. They could be 100 miles away, they could be 600 miles away. But the hardest part is telling them, yeah, I can't talk to them because I don't have the license for it, but we can listen to them. And so that's one thing I really want to be able to do is say, yeah, does anybody have any questions? Then we can have, you guys can talk to that. And one other thing I want to do is, this is going to be hard to coordinate, is talk to the space station. I've been waiting to do that for a long time, trying to line up. But that's one thing I would love for them to do. And that would be a good SpaceX and radio collaboration, is they can both talk to the space station.
KOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KN4LQO, Mr. Ryan down in Decorah, Georgia. That would be neat there, Ryan. I have seen the space station come over, and I've not talked to it, or not tried to talk to it. But they used to, I don't know if they still do it anymore or not, but they used to put out a schedule when they would be in certain areas. And I think they mostly did that for the school classrooms. I may be wrong on that, too, but they were doing it, I know, for a while for the school classroom work, and the ham radio operators that were also teachers, you know, they'd take their equipment to the school and set it up so that the children could try to make contact with the space station. But I wish you a lot of luck on that, and I really do. Hope everything works out for you.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of videos about that. I've seen people who just make contact. They just wait out and just happen to catch them while they have the radio on. Usually, I mean, I have the UTC time, and they say when their schedule is, their eat and sleep schedule. for, and it is an UTP. And the hardest part is just finding a time where I'm awake and they're also awake and they're above me. So that's the only real thing that's hindering me right now. But I know that they usually keep their radio on just to have it on while they're working, just in case anybody decides they want to try and get a contact into space. The other thing that I want to do, the second one I want to do, is get an SSTV signal from them. And I think both of those, I showed my grandparents the SSTV signal that somebody else had recorded, and I had showed them how I could do it on my phone, and they thought that was the coolest thing in the world. So I told them if I ever made a contact with the space station, I would try to do it at their house, so that way they would be able to say hi to you.
So they could say that they were there when you made the contact. What else you got for us tonight, Ryan?
Other than a couple of mashed potatoes, a couple of servings of mashed potatoes, and a couple of chicken legs sitting at home, then I don't got anything else. So I'll go ahead and say 73s, and we'll talk to you later on another net. And I know you've got another person probably saying, man, does this kid ever hush? I want to talk. So 73C on and on the net, stand for LQA, and I'll be quick.
I've thoroughly enjoyed it tonight there, young man. Glad everything's going well there at your job, and you're getting everything done at the church, getting the sound systems and the videos and all that set up. You take care. Don't work too hard, and enjoy your work. If you enjoy your work, you've never worked a day in your life. So you take care, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. Again, I enjoyed it there, Ryan. Additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI-4-DOS. Hello, Mr. Al, KI-4-MLN, down there in Malden. Al, what have you been up to today?
This place is hurting a little bit, but it's not that bad. I'm moving around a little bit, but I'm trying to be easy on it because it's starting to heal, but I got to be careful with it. You know, that's one of those things. Like the nurse said, it's going to be a slow one.
Anytime you have an injury like that, it's going to take a while, and you don't want to be walking around and bump into nothing either, do you?
Work on Daniel V6 and see if I'm gonna push crank in that wreck and see if it'll turn. I remember it being real tight, so I have a feeling that there was rust on everything, so we'll see if the crank's straight or the box straight. I hope I don't have to hassle with that thing. That part is making me irritated. That's one engine I will tell you, I never hated taking an engine apart as much as I hated that one. I hate is a real good word I can use. I can't say on here what I think about it, because I get a good fine. But I'm telling you, that Ford really broke my chops and my hands. I still think about that therapist came in and I was playing that 2-pound hammer. I said, "Do you want to give that a few shots? I want to see if your wrist is as good as mine." He looked at me, he said, "We got done with our little therapy lesson with walking around looking at the shot a little bit." He says, "Hell." He said, "What you just do, swing that hammer," and I don't know if I could do it, never mind you doing it. He started laughing.
Started at him then.
That's funny though. Well, I'll tell you what happened today. I called the crank shop and asked some questions. Went as straight as his cranks, I couldn't remember. It's been a while. And he said, "I've been looking for you." He said, "There's another Paulie Vine guy looking for me." I said, he built Paulie engines. He was in a drag race and crashed. And he had to, I guess when he had the brains, or his brain swelled from the wreck, I guess he lost his sight in the thing, and he said he's still building Harley engines, so he's doing automotive machine work and stuff, and I guess he told his line, says, "God damn, it's going to get home, and he's going to have to beat me," and he said he's fought other blind people. He said, "So I want to find out what he's got going on," and he says he solved some of the problems that I had here I couldn't, so we'll see what he comes up with. I think that'll be rather interesting. He's in Georgia somewhere.
An interesting, Al, and I hope it, hope y'all get together.
Crank shop, you don't think Crank is messing? Yeah, I know, I'm having great, is it? I said, first of all, I hope it don't break the thing again. I was talking about NASCAR crank, my buddy was working on it. Oh, I said, Bart, you want to throw that thing out? I said, why is that? I said, because he went back and forth as good. I said, that hydraulic lock for us. I said, you know what's going to happen when you straighten out? He said, what's that? I said, who is it getting hot? I said, if it doesn't have a crack in it now, I said, it's probably got a crack underneath the two of your streets. I go, you can hold the brakes in half. Sure enough, the guy in the crank shop went straight, back good, went straight in a broken half. I said, well, at least you're lucky it broke in half now rather than later.
I'd much rather it break in half while it's out than when you put it all back together and then it break and then have to tear it all back down again.
What's cool about this thing here, this NASCAR is as old as Sprint car. It should make about 840 horsepower if it will. And if it makes between 800 and 840, which is what I think the car, that's pretty stout for a 356 cubic inch engine.
No doubt about that, that's pretty stout.
Two-barrel race car engine back in the 90s when I was in the race car crew, almost got a kill one twice. But other than that, I fell asleep with a torch in my hand one morning. I was working too many hours, I had a torch in my hand. I just got into work and fell asleep. Caught myself on fire, my friend grabbed a torch, put the coat out, and I got the fire out, and didn't get burnt too bad. But I'll tell you what, that's where I decided. I said, that's enough of that. I said, I'm tired of working 6 days a week, I'm tired of it. I worked for a couple more weeks and said, I'm done with this. I built three engines. They're off $52,000. Worked 5-6 days a week. I had enough of this. And then when the guy wrecked, one of the guys didn't fix the hydrant, it was kind of my fault. I was the senior guy in the crew. I just walked off. I said, you know, I said, that wreck was my fault because I didn't watch you sighted dummies do your jobs. And I said, I'll be darned if one of my driver's going to get hurt because I forgot to get you dummies to check things you're supposed to.
Oh, mate, I tell you what. You know, I always think that's funny. You know, they, doesn't matter what happens, you know, especially in a race car, the driver has a wreck, it's always somebody else's fault. It's never the driver's fault. It's, you know, the car's fault or somebody else hit him or, you know, a tire blew out or, you know, it don't matter what it is. It's always somebody else's fault.
This is what I told him. And this is something I told the whole crew. I said, Sherman, pour the loop around the gas pedal, tie it tight, get your foot in the loop. So if you do have the throttle stick, you can pull it back forcibly if you have to.
The all the NASCAR cars nowadays have got a thing over the top of the driver's foot just for that purpose. You know, so they can, should the throttle stick, they can pull it back with their toes or the top of their foot. And I think that's pretty good idea, Al.
I was the oldest member of the crew, and I told the guy, the other crew, I didn't even take the decision. I had to kind of pull the garb off it. And that guy in another crew did, he said, why don't you want to do it? I said, first of all, I'm so mad. Second of all, I said, basically, my days of working on race cars is through. I said, you know, I see where an accident like this happens, especially in front of the guy's parents like that. Luckily, the car was welded together, right? But you know, you get a car, is it welded together, right? A piece of metal breaks off, and something jagged against somebody. That too is a guy I know in the 80s, he got killed that way just when the 80s epidemic started out. There's a sharp spot in the car, and he bled to death in the car. So the EMTs couldn't get him out of it back when they had the 80s scare and the 80s.
As far as that goes, the safety devices and things have come a long way. You know, gosh, I can't remember when I first started following racing, but it was a long time ago. And Yeah, they didn't have near what the safety devices that they've got now. They were lucky to have a decent roll cage, and some of the drivers even tried to cheat and put fuel in the roll cages so they wouldn't have to pit as often. But can you imagine what would have happened if one of them sprung a leak and the car was on fire?
Well, you know, there again, you know, they did a lot of crazy stuff. Like Junior Johnson said, he was a crazy old boy, old Junior Johnson. I wish I could have met him. But he was funny. I don't know if he's still alive. I think he is. But he was funny. He said, one day they crashed an airplane, and the guy gets out to the runway, and this guy's kind of terribly crashed, and he jumps out of the plane.
DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, but KI4MLN, Mr. Al. Junior Johnson was a crazy individual there, Al, and I met him a couple of different occasions, but yeah, he told me one time, he said, you know, everybody cheats. He said, the ones that's cheating the most is the ones that don't get caught.
Punk Unit was pretty funny. He said one time, I always wanted to meet him, but one of my friends, the crank grinder, I knew Fred up north, he worked for him at Hank's Crank in Florida. And Fred was funny. He's a crank guy. And one year I got him a crank bottle. He wanted a good bottle of crank bottle. I was like $30 per bottle or something like that. I said, that's not too bad, Fred. But his driver came, I gave him a crank, just cut it. Here's a bottle of wine for Christmas for that. And Fred says, wow, he says, thanks, Al. And he says, but Fred was telling me that one time Smoke Unit was working down in Florida, that car drives it down, he called it. And they had this alligator. He used to come in there, and they were all drinking one night, and he said, the stupid guy was picking on the alligator. So the darn thing, this guy was drinking and teasing it. So the thing bit his finger off, so Smokey Unit kicked the alligator so hard it snarled and never came back. I started laughing. Now, you know, if he kicked the alligator that hard it never came back, I thought that was pretty funny.
I would consider that pretty funny.
And Junior Johnson used to be crazy. Smokey Unit told a pretty funny story. He said one time he had a driver, and he said he knew the guy could drive, but he watched him run a car. He says, you're not running that car hard enough. He says, you know what? He goes, I think you can't drive. And Smokey Unit says the guy got so mad, he went out and took the car out. He beat on the car, almost blew the car, but he won the race. He said, see, I told you couldn't drive.
Well, yeah, sometimes you got to make them mad before they get in there and try hard.
And my cover was doing over 600 CFM, which is pretty good, that's pretty barrel. And I did it with old cast iron junk heads. I had an old set of heads off of that. And with cast iron junk heads and a flat top piston, I made 530 horsepower out of junk, out of spare parts. That's what my engine produced. And the fastest guy on the track was making 550 or 560. I was within that tenth above the length of him. So I was making the power. I definitely had it down pat.
You know, you got to have the power, and then you got to have the, nowadays you got to have all the aerodynamics and all of that. But used to, all you needed was the power and somebody with a heavy enough foot.
Power, it was a Troyer car, which is what they use in Tour Modified. And this car, you know, you could put 900 horsepower in this thing. I always said to the team, I said to the track, I said, come on, let me throw a four barrel on this thing, and let's see what this thing will do. He goes, Al, I don't want to let you crazy guys out there with four barrel thinking 600 horsepower on this track. He says, somebody will get killed. I said, come on, it'll be an interesting race.
Well, you know, they got to do something to try to keep everybody safe, and it's not going to work. You know, somebody going to get hurt regardless. But They got at least try, I guess.
It's a 1/3 mile track, and I met a guy from England when I was over there. From England, he was over to watch our races over there. And he's from England. He says, you know, we have a track like this over in England. I said, really? I said, how much horsepower? He goes, overrun, big block Chevrolet. I said, you got to be kidding me. Big block Chevy, like 427s and 454s. On a 3rd mile. I said, that must be crazy.
But I don't know if they were or not. I'd have to take his word on that.
I mean, I always like to try it. I mean, but the point is, the funny point is, I told the tech guy, I'll let you go with this. I know it's late and you're talking and stuff, but when I did that in the 80s, in the 90s when I did it, it was the first time I had really ever done a race. I had done engines before, but first time going one for a race, I never told him I did it for 20 years, but I knew how to do it. It's just I didn't. First one I ever did. So the last first time I built an engine, guy, I think it was, now, I know it's not the first time, but there's people coming, don't come out first time out, never built an engine like that. I said, well, it sounded good, didn't it?
Oh, babe. Yeah, that's like I told a fellow one time, a long time ago, and I said, he wanted to be a truck driver, and I looked at him, and I said, I got more miles going backwards than you got going forwards, and he didn't know what to say then.
Did you hear about the guy that established the record truck driver? He drove 4 million miles with the same truck and never had an accident. So has the first truck he ever bought, and that's the truck he drove 4 million miles in.
I enjoyed that several weeks ago now, I guess it was. I told her, I said, you know, I wished I had every logbook that I ever filled out. That way I could figure up how many miles I've actually driven. And she said, I wouldn't want all that, all them logbooks in the house. It'd take too long to move them around from point A to point B. She said, besides, you'd go through one that supposedly lasts you a month. And she said, but you had a lot more than that. I said, well, I'm not going into that.
I think what's important, though, I think the main thing is, it's like anything else. You know, Pat and I made a bet. Pat Parr and I made a bet. I said, he said he thought I was going to make 7.4. I said, no. I said, if it made 660, I said, if you go by the rules you should be going by, with alcohol and a gasoline barrel like that should make about 600 horsepower. Fingers with 600 horsepower. I said, "Run alcohol, get 30% more, so you should make about 800 horsepower, 840." So we're gonna see if the work they did works out.
To be honest with you, I'm not an engine builder, so I don't know about all of that.
You never really know what you're going to get. Sometimes you get good ones, you know. But I think it's going to, we'll see how it does. They're going to put it on the dyno, so we'll see. But it'll be interesting to find out how close I really am.
The way you say it's supposed to be, you won't be too far off, I don't think.
Here, go in there, go on, pick it up. I figured I heard something was keying up the repeater, I think. But, yeah, you know, we'll see. I mean, but I'm hoping that, I don't care. I just hope, the way I'm feeling right now, I just hope I got another year or two left. I really hope I can finish all these darn projects I started.
Well, just hang in there. Just take it one day at a time. That's all you're going to be able to do anyway.
Funny. It's kind of funny we're having this conversation because before my, 60th birthday, they gave me that December. We didn't think I was going to make it through it between my, and I didn't think I was going to make 61. Somehow I did, so we'll see what happens. You know, the COPD stuff and NASA and all this stuff together, it's just kind of tough. But, you know, I got to keep going forward. I got to keep working. So say hello and get you a chance to come out or get your coffee and all that. And I can't wait till we can get together and get this past this stupid antenna and get this stupid... This handy talk is a pain.
Well, you take care. Enjoyed it as always. Look forward to doing it again. And don't take no wooden nickels down there, buddy. We'll talk to you later. Do we have additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. We'll about wrap it up this evening. I'm going to put the net report into the computer, and I'll let it do its thing, and then we'll finish closing out the net. Well, there you have it, folks. We had a grand total of 59 this evening. A good number. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Come back tomorrow night, and Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling. Give him a good dose of Rider's Cramp. Now, this is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us tonight. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, good bless. This is KI4DOS clear.
Roger.